brought to you by bedroombattlefield.com. This is the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. It's Matthew with you here, just back from Bring Out Your Lead 2025, an absolutely fantastic event as ever. And I'm delighted to say if you weren't able to make it along, or you're just, you're just home yourself and you're missing the event already, then I did manage to record some audio footage and I'm able to kind of give you a little audio tour of the event, a little whirlwind tour at least. So on the Friday, I arrived with wife and daughter in tow. You know, we sort of doubled up as a wee family holiday, which was really nice. And as we walked through into the courtyard on the Friday, there was Mr. Mike Hutchinson himself sitting there on a picnic bench painting his miniatures. So I thought it'd be brilliant to go over and have a wee chat. I've spoke to Mike a lot over the years, but never in person. So it was a real pleasure to actually meet him. And here he is right now on the Friday. Mike, how are you doing? Bring out your lead 2025.
I am great. I'm sat outside. I'm painting teeth on orcs. I'm meeting people and having a nice chat.
Yeah, first time at Bring Out Your Lead?
Yes.
You arrived just this morning then?
I drove up yesterday and popped over to Nottingham to see a friend, talk about some secret projects. I'm going to be running a game of Hobgoblin tonight. And then again on Sunday morning.
Yeah, and you mentioned as well, I think you hope to get a wee game of Manowar.
Yes, I brought some orc and some dwarf ships. Although I forgot to pack the cards for them, but hopefully, yeah. I don't know, hopefully someone's got enough. But if not, I'm definitely gonna try the standing next to a table near to when the game looks like it's going to start technique for the game today, I think.
And what you're sitting out here painting in the sunshine, so what have we got in front of us here? A lot of orcs, a lot of greenskins?
Yeah, so we're looking at about a kilogram of metal orcs.
That's what we like to see.
Yeah, these ones are from Nightmare Miniatures and Raoul Parther, like sell some Tim Prowl orcs and some Kev Adams orcs, so collected some of those. I collected them first for HeroQuest, and then I really loved them and thought, let's get some more of these.
So what's the plan with the Hobgoblin game? Like, are you basically kind of demoing it for people, or are you...
My plan is unformed, but I think the two things that are true are I'm hoping to get more than two players involved, so I'll do a sort of team game, and then I'll probably, assuming I don't need a ringer, then I'll just sort of GM... / encourage people.
Yeah. When you play your own games, is it just rule book in the head, or do you have the book in front of you at any point?
I tend to play with the rule book in front of me because often I'm playtesting and I need to know exactly what it is that I've written most recently so that I don't play an imaginary version of the game. Yeah. I play the one that actually other people will get. So quite often, even when I'm like late on in playtesting, I'm like, let me just read the rule for myself just to make sure that I play exactly what I've written.
Yeah.
So yeah. But in this case, I think this event, I'm going to be a bit looser.
Yeah.
I won't worry too much.
Are you signed any books today?
You know the answer to that one.
Yeah. Whipped out my copy of The Fundamentals of Tabletop Miniature Game Design.
Yeah, very nice.
Is that the title? A handbook. Designer's handbook. So yeah, got a nice signature on that. On eBay tonight.
Yeah, of course.
You were telling me somebody presented a copy of Gaslands that they got off eBay, like a signed copy?
Yeah, they brought it to me at a show, yeah. They said, look, I've got a signed copy of the game. I bought it off on eBay.
Mixed feelings on that.
Yeah,
I think the likes of Alex Ferguson in that signed books, I think they insist on asking the person's name. So you have to start deploying that tactic.
Well, one of my most treasured artifacts is I have a copy of the... So my copy of the second edition Warhammer 40,000 rulebook has all of the design team signed it because I took it to Games Day and I got everyone's signature.
Classic.
On it. So that one's, a treasured artifact.
Have you been in the shop yet, the foundry shop?
I have. I've spent some... The best thing about the shop is the cabinets of painted miniatures.
Oh, yeah.
Although it's a little bit confusing because like there's tons of stuff in those cabinets that isn't available for sale, but it's totally wonderful to look at. I don't know, like, there's quite a lot of lovely looking spherical dwarf models. So this army might end up with another kilogram weight of dwarf opponents by the time I leave this weekend.
Yeah,
that seems likely.
So that was it in terms of recordings on the Friday for me. The rest of the day I spent just going around, looking at everything, drinking it all in, and got a good couple of games with my daughter of crossbows and catapults outside in the sunshine as well. She had her crossbows and catapults game down. There was a few people stopping by the table, and they either had the game when they were wee and hadn't realised that it was re-released, or there were a couple of folks that seemed to have not come across it before. So yeah, that was the limit to my gaming, but really good fun, obviously. So then on the Saturday we came back and I managed to get a chat with Owen Staten himself, the Welsh storyteller, another really good podcaster and a voice I've no doubt that you're familiar with. He obviously, he has his own show, Time Between Times, and he does a lot of great work on the Crown of Command podcast with Josh as well. So I caught up with Owen and we just had a little walk around and a little chat and tried to kind of describe what we were seeing for you. Owen, good to meet you at last.
Yeah.
Big fan of your work, so it's nice to put a face to the voice.
Oh, thank you. That's great.
So we're here on Saturday at Boyle. So were you here yesterday?
No, it's my first day on my first visit. I've never been there before. Always wanted to come, but never really knew what was going on. So I took the plunge. I got up at the crack of dawn and got in the car, and up I came.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good though, isn't it? It's nice, beautiful day as well.
Yeah, that's the cherry on the cake when you get the sun out and that, and it's as everyone said, it's just a perfect location. I know they're going to move and stuff, but
yeah.
So what was your first impressions walking through the gate there?
I didn't know what to expect. I walked through and I just saw the tent. And then I didn't know whether there would be loads of stalls with manufacturers. I didn't know whether there would be lots of other stuff going on. But it's just a really chilled atmosphere with gamers just playing games they've organised.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful, because you must know how hard it is to get players who play the same games as you.
Yeah.
But this is the ideal place for it, and it seems really welcoming. Everyone's really friendly, and just a wonderful place, really.
So have you got any plans, or are you just playing it by ear?
Nothing lined up at all. I know Marcel over there is running some Hero Quest, and I'm looking for Timothy from Canada, who I said I'd pop in and say hello to, and yourself. But I'm just happy to see some miniatures I haven't seen for years and years,
Yeah.
Which is great.
Have you had a look at the cabinet in there yet?
Oh, I know. Yeah. I could buy them all.
Let's go in and have a look there.
But I've never been here, even when the shop is just open. And this is such a, to see some of the miniatures here that have gone back, for decades, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I was saying to my wife, because she's down with me and my daughter, I was saying, that is the world's most iconic miniature collection.
I know. You can look on every shelf, and I know people are listening, not seeing here, but on every shelf, there's even figures that we probably know and remember quite a lot from the old days. Even we, are coming back to me, that Minotaur.
Yeah.
There's a Minotaur with his fist raised high in a spear. And I haven't seen that for years and years. It's fantastic. And these, Beastmen characters that are with lions and frog-faced people and things. And that's wonderful. And they're all beautifully painted as well.
Yeah, like the Gene Stealer limo there. You see the reflection of
The original. City. And the big, gangster Gene Stealer, like a Jabba the Hutt type character, isn't he?
Yeah.
Which is fab as well. Look at the old Slan on the Cold Ones, the original Slan. Before they became the boss of the Lizard Men, they were the sort of foot soldiers.
Yeah.
In the first couple of editions, and there they are on Cold Ones, and again really brightly coloured goblin green bases. Wonderful, really.
You could put a few games together with this stuff.
Couldn't you just? Look at these barbarian figures and some of the old knights. And I can see they're selling boxes of the old ninjas and dwarves and stuff like that. So it's, I'm certainly not going to come away empty-handed from here as well.
Yeah.
Good job, I got the credit card.
Yeah. I was round in the shop here, so bought my daughter her first miniature to paint. So she's got was it the wee jolly Santa?
Yeah,
got.
There he is, look at him.
So I'll help her get that set up and painted, but looking forward to that. And of course we've got more stuff in the cabinet there.
I know, I remember this range of orcs. I had loads of these. Huge, big, metal, thick, chunky orcs, you know?
Yeah.
And I can remember I took an army of these to Texas to play in a tournament.
Right.
Loads of units of them, yeah?
Yeah.
And we pulled up in the airport, and I can remember my case coming around, and it was open. It was just all stuff hanging. There's probably about 8 or 9 of these still in a San Antonio airport somewhere. I was horrified.
So I think these are actually some of the foundry ones then, aren't they?
These are foundry ones. Probably about, I don't know, 2004, 2005,
right.
These I would think. Look at these trolls.
Yeah, I was just thinking that would be perfect for Blood Bowl,
Wouldn't it? It's great. I like this giant bear with dwarves holding it by chains as well. And then some of the like vampire characters, fantastic stuff.
Let's go through and get a wee look at the tables.
Is it your first time here?
No, second. So I came last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Really enjoyed it. So it's a bit more frantic for me this year because I've got the wife and daughter with me. So we're getting away early to go and do stuff with them. But I'm still managing to get a wee look round. And
I know. As you come into the tent here, I was really taken with this. I mean, there's a lot of old like Lord of the Rings figures.
Yeah.
I love it. There's for anyone listening, it's probably about a 10 by 6 table.
Yeah.
With a huge battle going on, isn't there? Full of undead against orcs and the Empire as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic giant in the middle of the table there.
Yeah, I know.
A hot air balloon and a flying ship.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And then yesterday over this side there was like a Lustria setup.
It's all
changed today. They've actually split it now, so it's almost like a, I don't know if it's a Mordheim game.
Yeah, I can see the Mordheim book, I'm assuming it is. But again, it's the scenery's just beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean they've got rivers running through the ruins and everything.
I know. It's the work that people put into the games, isn't it? That's the key to it really. And it's just great to see and a couple of familiar faces I've seen over the years here as well. So just beautiful.
And then through the back as well, you've got a lot of wee games going on in there.
Yeah.
No less interesting, it's a bit smaller scale, but
I was drawn to this one. Now I think this bit of scenery is in the 3rd edition Warhammer book.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But there's some lovely miniatures here. Those old demons there. Sorry. Demons in the red there. The one standing up. I can remember he's like a Balrog type figure.
Yeah.
And I can remember him back in the day and thinking, you know, that was... I think I had that. And that was my Balrog. He's quite small now, isn't he? But it's a great miniature. York Wyvern Riders. Great Necromunda game there on the original scenery. And then like a Tyranid world there, isn't it? With all the giant things growing out the ground and the really brightly coloured sort of 2nd edition theme. What I like is you can just rock up and set up a game and have a game.
Yeah.
You know?
So you probably heard us reference that game of Mordheim, the Siege of Prague game of Mordheim. That was actually being run by Lewis at the Old Hammer Fiction Podcast. So I managed to grab him in between turns and get a quick chat as well. So I've got an actual credible podcaster in the building, Lewis. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Well, my game is going quite badly. I've been caught by a Minotaur on a bridge, and I'm just slowly feeding one mercenary after another into it, where it gets chopped up. So sad times for the defenders of Prague today. But conceptually, as a narrative event, I'm enjoying it.
So this is then.
It's quite cool.
It does look cool.
As you see it.
Yeah.
So this is the scene. Siege of Prague,
this is the Siege of Prague, yeah. So there's a load of fiction about the Siege of Prague in the Lost and the Damned book. It's the kind of thread that runs that story. And I thought it'd be quite nice to do something inspired by that. But the thing with those stories is they're all little vignettes rather than like descriptions of big battles. So we thought Mordheim would be a better system than one of the Warhammer Fantasy Battles to do it.
Yeah.
And I was really lucky. I've got Peter, who actually knows something about Mordheim and brought all this beautiful kind of like the lighter coloured terrain up there. And he kind of came in on the team with me and has created all of this or brought all of this. And works really well. Looks really good.
It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. So were you here quite early getting that all set up?
No, it took us about an hour. Like, I was lucky. I was playing Rogue Trader late last night, so last thing I was able to get the mat out and kind of let that flatten down a bit, and that works really well actually. This is from Curtis from Ramshackle Games kind of recipe of like just rubbing sand into a sheet with PVA glue and then painting and painting and painting over the top.
Yeah.
What kind of sheet is it?
It's a bed sheet. It's just a bed sheet soaked through with glue and car paint, basically.
The things we do for the hobby.
Yeah, absolutely.
So are you running this today? Is it happening again tomorrow? Or are you...
No, we're running it. This is running three times today, like once on the first third of the board, once on the second third, once on the last third, and it's today. Normally there'd be a 12 foot by 6 foot mega game here, like the Hell's Reach game, but Curtis wanted a bit of a break, so we've split it between us and Bombers Over, whatever it is, Bombers Over Thunder River, is that right? But maybe next time it will be a 12 footer.
Good stuff. I'll let you get back to it.
I'm about to get murdered, so I have to go and find out what happens to me.
So a famous face coming through the door, Jordan, Mr. Sorcery, good to meet you.
Good to meet you, mate, how you doing?
So you're just saying there that this is your first time walking through the hallowed gates, so what's your first impressions?
It is my first time, and it is like everything you hope for. It's absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
Seeing all of these tables, so many people just playing classic games, having such an awesome time. The love and attention that has been lavished on these games is awesome to see.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I mean, you can spend all day just perusing the tables. I was speaking to Owen as well. We had a walk round, and he was saying no two tables is remotely alike. You know, everything's got its unique flavour. You go into the shop and you see, I was saying to my wife, the most iconic miniature collection in the world in there in those cabinets. So it's a really special experience to come here, isn't it?
Oh man, it really is. It reminds me of like classic games days. So like for me in the 90s when they put huge like Games Workshop games together, like real proper display games that had taken months for loads of people, loads of staff members to create. Obviously here it is just people who love it who have spent months creating this stuff, but it showcases every aspect of the hobby. Like the games themselves are super inventive. Just looking at like a massive version of Bombers Over the Silver River, and it's just, but like, you know, huge scale, absolutely amazing. You know, like a Siege of Prague and all sorts. Just really stunning. Like it is the hobby just let loose and unleashed all of the creativity and all of the fun. I can see why people love coming to this event every single year, because it's so cool.
And have you got big plans of what you want to do, or are you just going to take it as you find it?
I'm just going to take it as I find it. Yeah, I'm here to just enjoy it. I want to see that miniature collection, the Ansel collection, as a huge bucket list item for me. And just having seen all of the people, or some of the people preparing for this, and like posting the things they're working on over the last few months, being able to come and just see them play and see what they've put together and how amazing it is, that's my plan for the day.
So that was a real pleasure meeting Jordan, somebody whose content I'm a massive fan of. I tried to keep it brief with the recording. He just got there. I didn't want to accost him, but you know, after we'd stopped recording, it wasn't like he hurried off. Like we chatted for a good 10-15 minutes. Just a really lovely guy. And then later on, when I was back through, just getting a final look over those cabinets and miniatures, found Jordan in there, so we had a wee chat as well. Picked out a few of our favourites, but it was just brilliant to see him there. You could see how much it meant to him. And as I went back outside, I found the man himself, Mr. Mike Hutchinson, just sunning himself there, recovering from his hangover, and I decided to get a wee chat with him and just find out what his plans were for this second day. Mike, day two, Saturday, the big day.
Yeah, it's feeling a lot busier. We're at the beginning of the day, people are still streaming in. A lot busier than yesterday.
Harder to get the car parked this morning, I found. So, last time we spoke was yesterday, Friday, so you've now done your game of Hobgoblin. How did that go?
Yeah, it was great. I didn't have any specific book-ups. It's all book-ins. It's a bit like loosey-goosey around here, which I like. But yeah, had two chaps, Jasper and Alex, come along and play the game, which was wrapped up fairly quickly. I promised 90 minutes. We played a big game in 90 minutes, so that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's good because a few other people were wandering by, having a little look. I was handing out free quick start rules to get people interested.
Our question of the month for August 2025 is, what's got your hobby juices flowing right now? What are you excited about? What are you painting, playing, or planning for? There's nothing more motivating than hearing another hobbyist's enthusiasm, so please fill us in over at bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail, and I need them in by Friday the 29th of August. That's bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail, and now back to the show. So if you're a long-time listener to this show, you'll know that I am a huge fan of Mike's mass fantasy battle game Hobgoblin. And one thing that's always amused me, Mike's got a great video on YouTube of him and Gav Thorpe playing it in Gav Thorpe's house. And the thumbnail is literally Gav ironing this green bit of cloth, you know, to represent the battlefield. It's just always tickled me. So I couldn't resist asking Mike about that, you know, what the kind of story was behind that. So here he is.
So you might have seen that I did a battle report. Well, I did two battle reports with Gav for Hobgoblin, and I arranged this with him, and I drove up to his house near Nottingham. I brought me armies, brought me rules, brought me recording equipment, but it didn't occur to me to bring like a gaming mat or something. I just thought, you know, ex-Warhammer lore master, he's going to have a gaming setup. So we sat down to play. And there was no space for a display, just a little kitchen table. It didn't have a table, didn't have a board, didn't have any gaming mat. And I was like, oh no, we're just going to play on like a blank kitchen table that's like half the size that we need to play a game of Hobgoblin. This is going to be the worst battle report ever. And his partner was like, oh no, I've got some fabric in the shed. So he pulled out this giant bit of goblin green fabric. I was like, well, that's going to have to be it. But of course, Gav had to iron it flat before we could play. And I don't know. I just figured he'd have a gaming setup. Yeah. He'd have like a corner of his garage already.
Yeah, going to what you hear like when people go and play at the Perry's place. It's like the most incredible.
Right, there's like
setup.
Some sort of 12x6 table constantly set up with like observation posts in the middle that you pop up in like some kind of aquarium.
Like trenches you can walk through physically. Yeah. But yeah, no, I love the thumbnail of that because it literally was Gav just ironing this. I really like that. I really like that sort of grounded aspect of it. But yeah, could see why that might have been surprising at the time. Well, good to meet you, Evelina.
Nice to meet you too.
You said you've been coming to Boyle for 10 plus years?
Almost 10 years, yeah. We started before we had little family. And now it's our regular event that we always go to. It's one of our favorites in the UK. Always wonderful atmosphere, with you know, family friendly. So it's always been nice for us to come here with the family as well.
Yeah, and it was really handy. Our two daughters seemed to be playing really
definitely.
Well together. They were playing crossbows and catapults yesterday, weren't they?
Yeah, it was a great game. Actually, I would enjoy it myself, to be honest, as well.
It's a classic, like.
Yeah.
So you were talking a wee bit yesterday. You were telling me about your Twitch stream and your painting and stuff. So tell us a wee bit about that.
So me and my partner, Jimmy the Brush, we stream on Twitch under his name, Jimmy the Brush. And, you know, he started on his own and slowly kind of got me into miniatures. It started off with just looking at Warhammer page, and then I just really loved orcs and stuff like that. And slowly we started painting together on stream, and, you know, it's nice life sort of painting stream where, you know, we can chat with people and do our painting and give people advice if they want to just hang out really and make friends.
So I take it like there'll be a bit of difference between painting just yourself privately versus going on stream. Like, how do you kind of find that?
It's really actually amazing. We made wonderful friends through Twitch, and you know, some of them we meet here at Bring Out Your Lead. So some of them are based in America, but at some point we are planning to go to ReaperCon in a few years when the kids are a little bit older. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's nice to interact with people when you paint, because a lot of people seems to just sort of shut down the outside world and just do the painting for themselves, which, you know, which is nice as well, because it just quietens their minds and, you know, it distresses people, I think, a lot of the time. For us, for me, it's very much a social event. You know, I like meeting people, I like painting and chatting and just, you know, make friends and play games, roll some dice. And that's always really nice.
Do you feel doing the stream has improved your skills as a painter?
I think so, because it's such a regular thing. You know, we do it three times a week. So three times a week, I have to sort of like sit down at my desk and I have to get out my paints and brushes and the models. And I think that helps me definitely just, you know, get into it. Even if I don't feel like it, for me, it's now more of a habit to paint. And otherwise, I would be just doing house chores or, you know, watch TV or do some, you know, do other things. So for me, definitely, you know, it helps me to sort of get myself organized and just, you know, do some painting.
Yesterday, of course, like we're speaking on Saturday right now at Bring Out Your Lead, like yesterday looked like you were getting ready to have a game of Age of Sigmar. So how did that go?
Yeah, that was brilliant. We played like a four-way sort of like little game where we just followed the, you know, the basic phases of the Age of Sigmar rules, the first version that came out after Warhammer Fantasy Battles. And we just, you know, we just managed to take out some models out of the board, and that always makes me happy, because it's, you know, just rolling, you know, loads and loads of dice and, you know, looking at, you know, what the result is. And also, you know, we involved our little one as well, and she absolutely loved rolling the dice, and it's nice way to involve children into the game as well.
Yeah, and then of course in front of us now I've got a nice classic game of Talisman on the
board. Classic Talisman, I think this is my favourite game, definitely. Yeah. It's just so easy to get into, and the nice thing about that is you can take through, you know, completely new person through the game, and they will just be rolling dice and just having fun. It plays itself, you know, the cards are beautiful, you know, the artwork is absolutely amazing and beautiful. The models are simple to paint, if you have any. And yeah, whenever we go to Bring Out Your Lead, we try to fit in one game of Talisman between people, and people are coming and going, and you know, they start of, you know, new characters, and we just try to enjoy it, and Talisman is definitely one of them games that is very, very enjoyable. For me it's the best game, because it's so easy to pick up on rules, because I'm terrible with rules, absolutely terrible with rules, and this is so easy and nice to pick up.
In between, like, your play and the painting, sorry, do you manage to play a lot?
Not really. With two children now, it's a little bit more tricky. But we do try to go to some of the events. Bring Out Your Lead is definitely one that we always go to. There are a couple of others. And, you know, maybe once in a few months we try to sort of like get some games in, but it's quite rare, to be honest. So we'll have to do some more. But at the moment we're focusing more on painting, because we've got many armies to paint up, and it's one of them things, you know, get the painting done and then we can play.
So what's your plans for the rest of the day then? This is Saturday.
We'll probably stay here and play the rest of Talisman. We might come home and do the stream as well on Twitch later on. We usually stream on in the evenings, so we'll try to do that. Depends how tired we are, but that's the plan for the rest of the day. And tomorrow we've got a couple of more friends coming in to play maybe Talisman, maybe a bit of Age of Sigma again. And, that will be it, I think. Hello,
you're getting summoned away.
I am, yes.
Well, just finally, where can the listeners find your channel, your Twitch channel?
So you can find us on Twitch. So if you go on www.twitch.tv and then search for Jimmy the Brush, you'll probably find us. We're always on 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays from about 8 p.m. UK time. So yeah, that's how you can find us. We always do a lot of colourful painting, lots of chatting, listening to music, and hanging out with people.
So David, welcome to Boyle, day two, Saturday. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Good to be back for day two. I feel like I got acclimated yesterday and back here for Jason's mega game, which was truly a sight to behold. Never seen so many minis in one place. I had to snap a picture and send it to my wife, and I said, you thought I had too many minis.
So your first bring out, your lead, isn't it?
It is. Very first. Glad to be here. Glad I was able to come when they're still here on the Foundry site.
Yeah.
And experience all that has to offer, the historic buildings and old atmosphere, and get to go see all the minis and on display in there. It was really something.
Yeah, it's a great location for it, isn't it?
Perfect.
So what was your kind of first impressions yesterday? Like they always say, Friday's the kind of quieter day. What did you make of it?
Yeah, Friday's the quiet day. Well, then we'll see. I'm going to be blown away by today because Friday felt like a whirlwind. I was excited and just a little overwhelmed at first, honestly, just seeing all these people, all these games, all these minis, and I kind of just walked around for hour and a half and just tried to soak it all in. And the variety of minis on display really were just kind of mind-blowing and kind of in awe. And what one of the things I love about it was just, it's very inspiring. You see stuff that other people do that you'd never have thought of and kind of come home with some ideas like, oh, maybe I'll try that or, something. And it's just great. It's great to see all the creativity, the love that people have put into these. And I was just really blown away, honestly.
Sounds like you were doing a bit of a Santa Claus. You gave me a wee miniature and you were handing them out. What was the story behind that?
Well,
just a generous guy.
No, so I knew that there's a tradition at Boyle. Everybody gets a mini that they sculpt every year to give away. And I kind of thought, in keeping with that, I wanted to bring a mini for everybody from the Bedroom Battlefields group who I knew was going to be here. And kind of in keeping that with that tradition, I figured if I was going to come all this way, I might as well bring a couple minis to give out to the fine folks at Bedroom Battlefields, and tried to pick each one for each person, so hopefully I did a good job with that.
And, for sure.
Looking forward to seeing them painted up in the minis channel at some point.
Yeah, I thank you very much. That was a sort of Damonette you got me, so looking forward to putting that together. It could go nicely with my pick from last year, isn't it?
That's what I thought, you know, he needed a friend.
Yeah, don't we all?
Keep him good company, I'm sure.
Have you bought anything through at the shop yet?
Oh boy, I have exercised every ounce of self-restraint in not doing so. The plan is to buy some today. I was already wandering in here, in there before Jason's game kicked off today, and I think if I bought everything I wanted to, I mean, hundreds of pounds, and my wife would probably never let me come back. So So we're going to use a little restraint today. The thing I'm really keen on is there is a orc general in kind of Renaissance garb that I thought would make a really cool general for my orc and goblin army. And then there's some pirate figures that I thought might really go well with my upcoming Dwarves of War project for Call of the Crown 5 that kicks off this fall. Maybe use them as proxies for long-drawn slayer pirates.
Good. Aye, it's a great range. I was looking at that myself.
And of course, I'll have to get a pick or two to bring home with me.
You have to get a pick, yeah. Brilliant. Well, thank you, David. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. I'll let you get back to this massive game, but have fun and soak it all in.
That sounds great. Thanks, Matthew.
Cheers.
All right.
So Mr. Mega Game himself, Jason from the community, was running yet another huge game of Warhammer, really in his element, you know, in this environment. And I managed to get a quick chat with him. Obviously, he was really busy running this huge game, but just as you could imagine, a brilliant, brilliant table, packed with miniatures, big units, loads going on, and just a lot of people around that table having fun and joining in. So when I caught up with him, it turned out, I didn't know this at the time, but my daughter had just joined him for a quick roll. So it sounds like she had rolled a dice and something had happened. So I wanted to find out a wee bit more about that.
Well, I gave her a shiny D20 and she had to get two or less for Jeff to come in on the first turn. And bless her, she got Jeff and all the monsters out on the first turn.
Good, good.
Very pleased with her.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So how's running this massive game, being that this is day two now?
Yeah. We've reset and started again for new players, and some players have come back, like Callum came back to have a go on the other side, so he's got a bit of an inside scoop on how to try and do better than yesterday.
Yeah.
But it should be alright. I'm always quite nervous about people actually wanting to participate, you know. But
yeah.
So far we're getting enough players, so it's all good.
So you would rather have like more people playing than just be pushing about yourself?
It goes faster that way.
Right.
You know, and we can get more of a game in.
Yeah.
And then I can concentrate on being the DM.
And I take it it has resembled a real game, for lack of a better term, because of the, like, they often say it's quite chaotic, but you're still feeling like you're properly getting a game in rather than just...
I love seeing it like this, and I love seeing it. But I like seeing our players develop the game themselves, because you must know when you run your own ones, you can't predict how it's going to go, because someone makes decisions, you think, I never thought that was even an option.
Yeah.
Why did you make that decision? And it just goes that way.
And do you find on a table this size that, like, it breaks up into little mini games, or is everything pretty, like...
Well, I tell you what, they've all been quite coordinated.
Right.
They've really been sharing out the magic. They've been sharing, trying to go, oh, we're going to do it this way, you go that way, and you go that way.
Yeah.
There is a few surprises. One player has a secret mission that hasn't been told to everyone else.
Right.
One of the necromancers, his daughter's been captured by the witch hunters. I don't know if you can see in the centre there.
Yeah.
And if he captures her, he wins the game. No one else does. Not any of his friends, not any of his anything else. He rips the game. He's the only one that wins. Everyone else loses. And he hasn't told anyone else. It's the guy in the blue shirt over there.
And how does Jeff fit into all this?
I haven't decided. I don't know how to admit this, but I make it up as I go along with Jeff. I haven't decided what Jeff's mission is today.
Yeah.
Yesterday it was to get the golden amulet off of the queen. And he failed, and he stripped the queen of all clothes and of the carriage and denied everyone a victory.
So he did make it down off that wee hill with a portal then.
Oh yeah, you get beaming along.
Right.
And he turned some statues into big tentacles, and he made everyone stuck in mud and that sort of stuff. How's it going, man? You're not bad. Oh, no worries. And today, I'm open to suggestions. I mean, I was going to ask your daughter, what would you think he should do?
Yeah.
Because she's the one that summoned him.
Yeah.
So whatever she says he needs to do to win, we could ask her and see what he thinks.
Hi, Daddy.
So you decided that Jeff the Wizard was going to do something. What was he going to do?
Marry the Queen.
He's going to marry the Queen.
And do you know what happened? Can you remember?
No.
The Wizard split in two. And there's a bad wizard.
Yeah.
And
no way.
What are they both wanting to do?
They both want to marry the Queen.
To marry the Queen now.
And the Queen's running away.
So there you have it. That was a whirlwind audio tour of Bring Out Your Lead 2025. Just again, as you've no doubt heard, a fantastic event. And huge credit to Garth, who organises it, and to the Ansel family, who are just in a constant state of busyness, making sure everyone's looked after. And you know, it's just a real real great event, great setting, and the tables as well, obviously, are the cherry on the cake, all these games that are taking place. So, yeah, if you weren't able to make it, I hope that's at least given you a little bit of flavour of it. And, you know, in the Discord community, along with the Crown of Commands Discord as well, there's a whole load of photos as well. So, you know, even though people can't manage for various reasons, there's still a lot of opportunity to experience the event from afar. And I know that for a lot of you as well, it's a bucket list event. So we'll keep our eyes peeled and see what 2026 is going to bring. All right, thank you very much for listening. Thanks also to everyone who stopped for a quick chat at Boyle and helped put this podcast episode together. I really do appreciate your time, and we'll chat again on the next one.